All right. We're in a sermon series called Be Rich. Everybody say, Be Rich. What does it mean to be rich? Do you realize that when it comes to the earnings that we make in the rest of the world, do you realize in the United States, on average, we make 10 times more than the average person around the world? If you've never been out of this country, you really should. You should go on a mission trip. By the way, we're praying and we're talking to a couple missionaries about missions opportunity next summer and next fall. We pray about that. But you soon discover, if you live in the United States, you are rich. You're rich. And we're talking more than just finances. We're talking about living a blessed life. A blessed life. And so if you're living the blessed life today, if you're saying, you know what, to be real, I might not have a lot of money, but I'm living the blessed life, will you just simply raise your hand right now? All you just raise your hand, what you just said, you just testified, I'm rich. I'm rich. Just look at your neighbor and say, hey, I'm rich. I'm rich. Look at the other neighbor and say, no, I'm filthy rich. Filthy rich. Okay, so we're going to talk to all the rich people in the room today, all the rich people who are watching on camera today. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, teach those who are rich, raise your hand, teach all those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. They should be rich. Everybody say, be rich. We should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. And that's why we started off our service talking about impact, talking about Convoy of Hope Ministry, because it's just an opportunity for us to extend our richness, to an opportunity to extend generosity for those who are truly in need. The word rich means to have enough to satisfy normal needs and desires. And the greatest thing that you can do with your wealth is to leave a legacy. Isn't it be great? You don't need to raise your hands, but some of you are here today and maybe a grandfather passed away, an uncle or a parent who died, and they left you a legacy. They left you a sum of money. They left you in their will, and they left you with an estate, and they left a legacy. A legacy is something that you leave behind. And I was looking this up, and looking up the word philanthropist. Okay, it's one of those hard ones. There's a gentleman in 1904, an Indian industrialist named Jamansetti Tata. Did I say that right, Edwin? Thank you. Thank you. I think you just said that for me to appease me. Thank you, so that I don't say it again. But in 1904, he passed away. And over the years, he has blessed people. He has left a legacy to the tune of $102.4 billion. You don't look very impressed. $102.4 billion. Here's a man who believed in leaving a legacy. Leaving a legacy. You know, your legacy is what lives on after you die. So all of us, really, whether you realize it or not, how we live our lives, it really determines the legacy that you're leaving behind. Everyone wants to leave a legacy. The question is, what kind of legacy are you going to leave here on this earth? They say, I've heard this said before, they say the most important symbol on someone's tombstone is the dash. The dash. Do we have a picture of the dash here? The dash. So we see, it says, Harold and Irma. I never met Harold and Irma, but you see the dates that they were born. You see the date that they passed. But they say the most important symbol on that tombstone, that's going to be on your tombstone someday, is the dash. The dash represents, what did I do with my life? What did I do with the blessings and the richness and the wealth? What did I do for the rest of the world? What did I do to leave a legacy? What legacy am I going to leave today? And here's a profound statement. It might be in your notes. Leaving a lasting legacy for tomorrow starts with your investment today. Let me say that one more time. Leaving a legacy for tomorrow, a lasting, life-giving, impactful legacy starts with your investment today. You see, as Christ followers, we have been created for impact. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm an impactful person. I was created for impact. And the word impact means to make a difference, to make a profound difference. And we know this. Jesus tells us that each and every one of you are a Jesus follower. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth, and each of those elements were created to make an impact. And you don't keep light. Jesus tells us you don't keep that light to yourself. You don't keep a salt and a salt shaker and say, don't use that. We want to keep all that salt in there. That would be ridiculous, right? That's not the purpose for a salt shaker. That's not the purpose. The purpose for a light is to shine and to make a difference. And that is the purpose of the church. We are to be light in our world. We are to be salt into this earth. But I want you to know this. It is, listen to me, if you get anything out of this message today, get this. It is a sin for the church to keep this light, to keep this salt for ourselves. It's a sin. I believe that the power of your legacy happens through your investment today. So the title of my message today is Investing for Legacy Impact. How many of you want to make an impact with your legacy? You want to make a difference in this world? And it all happens during the time of this dash that we talk about. The word invest means to expend money with the expectation of some kind of return. Some kind of return. So any financial planner will tell you the key to leaving a legacy, you have to start with investing now. Now, I heard about this when we were younger, and you know, you got to start saving for retirement. Like, and you know, when you're younger, you're like, yeah. But then as you get older, you're like, you know, one of these days, I might retire. And a financial advisor said, listen, you got to start planning for that now. You got to start investing. And so when you invest, you're given a portion of finances or whatever, and you're given towards it, and you're believing, you have faith that there is going to be a great return for that. It's the law of the harvest. When you plant, you expect as what you plant that one day there's going to be a return, there's going to be a harvest. That's what a farmer is. He is an investor. So today, I want us to focus in on a parable, a story from Jesus, and he talks about this principle of investing. And I believe that, this is a heavy parable this morning, and I want you to know that none of us really escape this parable. Every one of us is someone in this parable. And again, Jesus would tell parables, stories, for us to understand great spiritual truths. And so this is one you got to put your seatbelt on and hang on. Will you just do that? Can you just put your seatbelt on and hang on to this one? Because this one, it's heavy. Everybody ready? Here we go. Matthew 25, 14 and 30. It is called the parable of the investors. Verse 14, is Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. So many of Jesus' parables start like this. And he'll talk about the kingdom of heaven. We talked about this a few weeks ago. But there's two different views that are in this world. Okay? We view our life in two different ways. It's called a worldview. And you either have your worldview, man's worldview, or you have God's worldview. And so when you start thinking kingdom-minded, that means, you know what, I see the world as God sees the world. According to the word of God, that's how I see the world. And so Jesus is saying, this is how God sees the world. Let me say that one more time. This parable that we're about to get into, he says, you need to understand, this is how God sees the world. This is how God sees leaving a legacy, making an impact, making a difference in people's life. This is how God sees this world. So I want to talk to you about four kingdom investment principles for legacy impact. This is in your notes, all right? Follow me along. All right. The first principle to leave a legacy impact, you need to understand this, that you are a steward and not an owner. Just point at your neighbor and say, you're a steward. You're not an owner. You're not an owner. Now, a steward is someone who has been put in charge of somebody else's property. Now, after a few years, my wife and I, we did wise up, and we went out and we found ourselves a financial advisor. Financial advisor, and we say, hey, here's some of the things that we got. We did put away for some retirement. Should we get a life insurance policy? What should we do with some of these extra, with some of our savings? And we just started to reach out, and just a financial advisor is somebody who gives wisdom, but then also you give that person permission to start putting your investments into some stocks and some other things. You need to understand this. You need to understand your financial advisor is not an owner of your wealth. It's yours, right? It's yours. It's not theirs. They are just being stewards. And they make their profits. When you do well, they do well. So it's for their betterment that they do well with that. Now, listen how Jesus describes us. He again, going back to being with God's worldview, he says, he called together his servants, and he entrusted his money to them while he was gone. Financial advisors here. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. Now again, a servant is just another word for a steward. A servant, how many of you are employees? You're an employee of a company. You're not the owner, but you're an employee. Or you have been an employee, okay? So you can kind of use it, the other word servant, or you could use employee of the master, whatever. But it's the same idea. A servant or an employee is somebody, and you do better when you are fully submitted to the owner's leadership. How many of you, when you buck the leader, when you buck the boss or the owner, how many of you have discovered it doesn't always go very well, okay? When you just go against, it just doesn't go very well. But a servant, a good servant, is somebody who's submitted to the owner's leadership. And they understand that, listen, all of these tools, all of this machinery, this plant and everything, it's not mine. But I've just been given the privilege to come in and use these tools in this factory here to make things, and it benefits me in the form of a salary. And so they live, and you as an employee, you live for the mission of the owner. The owner gives to each according to their ability. So each and every one of you got, you know, different people in different departments, and people, they try to do their best to put people in the place where they're most gifted. They don't want to put them in a place where they're not gifted. And so it is with God. God has given you your wealth, your abilities, your giftings, your blessings, just according to how he sees it, right? And that's how God does that. So, and their responsibility is to carefully invest what's been entrusted to them for the owner's mission. So in other words, all that you possess in this life that is most valuable to you, it's not yours. It's God's. That's just one of the, that's when we talk about finances and the way God sees the world, that one has to hit home. That is foundational. And it just changes your mindset and everything. Wait a second, all that I have, it's not mine. Yeah, that's right, it's God's. And some people are like, where do you get that idea? Can we just go back a little bit here to the Old Testament? And this is all throughout the Bible, but here's a few scriptures. Deuteronomy 10:14, it says, look, the highest heavens and the earth, and what's the next word? The highest heavens and the earth and... Come on, you got to say it with a little bit more gusto. Some of you are having a hard time grasping this. And the highest heavens and the earth and everything. It all belongs to the Lord, your God. So somebody be like, well, that's Old Testament. I'm like, well, he's talking about possessions. He's talking to the same people about all of their possessions, their wealth, their blessings. And let's continue on here. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all of its people belong to him. And can I just put this on pause here? Guys, I'm talking about that one really fancy car that's in your garage that's all covered up. Mom, I'm talking about that, maybe that beautiful child you're holding right now. Talk whatever you most value in life, that fishing boat that you have in the driveway, that beautiful home that you have, the health that you've been given, it's not yours. It's God's. Everything. And we are just stewards. You're a steward. Number two, a great investment principle is that you need to understand that you have been blessed to invest. How do you like that rhyme there? You've been blessed to invest. Just look at the other neighbor and say, you're blessed, man. You're blessed to invest. Blessed to invest. Now, the word blessings means God's favor and protection. It means that you've been given resources to meet your needs. To meet your needs. And you have that, this includes, your blessings include your health, your wealth, life-giving relationships. I mean, we're blessed. Like, can we just do that one more time? If you're blessed today, will you raise your hand? Can we just give God praise for our blessings? Thank you. I'm telling you, it does so much good for your emotional health when you take time out each and every day and you just give God thanks for his blessings. And some of you are like, you don't understand. I'm not very blessed. I'm telling you, we could do the math here. You are blessed. And what if we just begin to just really focus in on our blessings? We can focus in on our problems because all of us have them. But what if we were to just thank you, God, for my blessings? Can I just encourage you in this Thanksgiving season that you would do that each and every day and see what it does to your mindset? But God has blessed you. You have blessed you beyond measure. And these blessings have been given to you to invest. You know, I think one of the most selfish things that a person can do is to keep their blessings for themselves. We're called to be a blessing. So when we look at this story, we see that they were blessed with the master's resources to invest for his kingdom purposes. Jesus tells us, he says, okay, now let's look at these three servants. Look at how they responded. He says, verse 16 and 7, the first servant who received the five bags of silver, he began to what? He began to invest. He began to take what wasn't his, and he began to pour it into whatever it was for the benefit of the master. And he earned five more. Way to go. Nice job. There was a response. There was a return on his investment. The second servant with two bags of silver, he went to work and he invested and earned two more. So there was a return on his investment. Not sure what that was, but there was a return. Verse 18, but. Everybody say but. But. The servant who received the one bag of silver, he dug a hole in the ground and he hid the master's money. So I just understand, if you're new here, understand the Bible talks a lot about money and finances and wealth. And if you're not catching the reason for that, I want you to understand the reason why God, I think he talks so much about money, because he sees that as his potential competitor. It's really a potential competitor in God's life, because we look to God to supply all our needs, but if we're not careful, we're tempted to look at our finances to meet all of our needs. That's just another thought there. But instead of investing, this servant kept what was not his because he was afraid. And this is what I know. When I'm afraid, I play it safe. When I'm afraid, I play it safe. And I want you to know the master never calls for us to play it safe, because he tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. He calls us to invest, to have an investment mindset. That, in other words, we're always looking for opportunities to invest in God's kingdom. And we're not just talking about giving finances and money, but a giving of ourselves. We prayed this morning in our circle prayer time that we talked about, this is our theme for this year, is that we're all in. Well, what does it mean to be all in? And God tells us, like, if you go all in, I want your heart. But I want more than your heart. I want your mind. And more than your mind, I want your hands. All in. And so it's, again, when I talk about investment here, I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about investing your life into his purposes. So I want you to think about all the blessings in your life. Your health. Your abilities. Your time, your treasures, your home, your car, your assets. I believe, listen to me, I believe the purpose for your blessings are twofold. You ready for this? Here's the purpose for your blessings. Number one, I believe it's for your benefit. I believe, I'm a father, just became a grandfather. I don't know if I announced that yet. Do we have a picture of my granddaughter? Not yet. Wait, we got one right here. Oh, right here. But anyhow. I want to bless my granddaughter. I love to bless my kids. How many of you parents, you know what I'm talking about? It just makes you feel good to bless them, to be able to give them something that just blesses them. It just feels really good. So I believe that that's God's purpose. He wants to give you blessings to bless you. He loves to bless his children. But number two, I believe it's for mission benefit. What do I mean by that? I believe that God has called each one of us to participate in reaching the world for Jesus. This mission that we call here at Thrive Church, we call it the mission of life change. This is not in your notes, but Luke, if you want to write this down, Luke 19:10. It gives us Jesus' mission statement, his whole purpose. Listen to me. The purpose for Jesus to come to earth, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. His mission. The whole purpose, the whole reason for the cross, for the resurrection, is for this mission of life change. In Mark 16:15, Jesus clearly tells us that we're called into the same mission. This is called the Great Commission. It says we are to go into all the world and to share the good news to everyone. This good news of Jesus. Just share with him our story. So what Jesus just did there, he says, I have been running this race to seek and save the lost, and now I hand the baton off to the church. Everybody just kind of put your hand out right now and just receive the baton. Receive the baton, and now I'm receiving this baton, this mission of life change. Jesus passes it on to us. So in Matthew 6:19-21, he tells us exactly how we should invest. When it comes to investments, he says, don't store up treasures or investments here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where the thieves breaks in and steal. He says, when you invest like this, when you invest in all of these things, your time, your energy, when that's all of your life focus, it's really kind of a waste, because you're going to go away and it's going to be put in an estate sale, and they're going to sell it at a fraction of the cost, and then they're going to own it, and they're going to get rid of it. Why do I have all this junk in my house? And it's going to wind up in a garbage dump someday, right? Is that the reality? The reality is, one of these days, your house is going to fall down. Your car is going to rust out, and I hate to tell it, It's just going to be smushed in a smusher machine, all right? Dustin, I know you did not like to hear that, but that's the truth. But he says, instead, Jesus says, store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves or do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. So I just want to ask you, how do you use your life to contribute to God's mission? What is your investment strategy for that? We're going to talk about investment strategy here in just a second. Number three, talking about investment strategy, principles, you are accountable. You're accountable. The word accountable means we're one day we're going to have to give an account for what we did with what we've been given. That's the reality. I mean, and for some of you, that's your work. You know, you have a review maybe once a month, once a year, and you have to give an account for how many widgets you made in your factory. Look at verse 19. After a long time, their master returned from his trip, and he called them to give in a... To give a what? To give an account of how they used his money. Now, I've talked about this before, but back in the day, my first job was I was a paper boy. And besides delivering papers each and every day, every Saturday morning I had to go and knock on people's doors and say, give me my money. And they were supposed to have in an envelope the amount of money that they owed for whether they paid weekly or they paid monthly. And so I had to receive that envelope, and I would put a little punch card on their little card or whatever. And then I would take that money and keep it for myself and buy bubble gum and buy a brand new bike and buy all these really cool things. Not as much as that thought hit my mind a couple times. But once a month, I had a director, and he would come to our house, and I would pull out my money bag, and I would have to give an account for the money that I collected. And it needed to add up. And if it didn't add up, then it came out of my pay. And that was very frustrating. So I had to give an account. You understand? So I had to give an account for stuff, for money, finances that was not mine. It wasn't my money. It was the newspapers. And can I ask you this morning, what are you doing with what God has given to you? Because here's the reality. One day, all of us, listen to me, all of us will stand before God, and we will give an account. And the question will be asked, what did you do with what was given to you? The big question, by the way, the big question every single person on this earth will have to answer, what will you do with Jesus? What did you do with Jesus here on this earth? What did you do with Jesus? Let me continue on here. Fourth principle is, your response matters. Your response matters. Have you ever wondered, when it comes to faith, what is the win? What is the win and what is failure? What is the win and what is failure? Well, in verses 21 and 23, we get a glimpse of what it looks like to win in the eyes of Jesus. Jesus describes, he describes it in the first two servants. He says to them, after he comes and they give an account for what they've done, and say, hey, we went out and we doubled what you gave us. We invested in what you gave to us. And it came, and there was a great return. And he looked at them in the eyes, both of them, and he said, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, but I want to live my life for the well done. You want to talk about what really matters in this earth? I think the well done. And I'm not talking about your steak here. I'm not talking about your hamburger. I'm talking about Jesus looking at you and say, well done. I gave you so much, and you invested, and you made a difference in people's lives. And there are people who are here today in heaven because of your well-done attitude. Well done. I just encourage you, church, really, if you want it, what is the purpose in life? I want to live for the well done. I want to honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want my impact to matter. Then it says here, then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. Verse 25, he gives an excuse. He says, I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. He hid it. He hid it because he was afraid. Can I ask you, why are you afraid to invest sometimes? When you know that God is calling you to do something for the kingdom of God, to invest your time, your energy, your resources, what holds you back? Are you afraid of your reputation will be lost? Are you afraid that, you know, if I get around lost people, I'll become a lost person, so I don't want to lose my salvation? Are you afraid of that? Are you afraid that if I give my one day offering, I won't have enough for myself? What are you afraid of? Verse 26 and 27, but the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. See, Jesus calls him out for not investing. He uses two words. He uses the first word, wicked, which means evil or morally wrong. And that tells me right there, I don't know the whole story here, but that just tells me that there were selfish motives. There was something selfish about it. That kept him from investing. And then that word lazy, it was just laziness is just an unwillingness to make an effort. I don't feel like it. I don't want to. And Jesus calls him out on that. It's strong, hard language for these parables that he gives to us. He said, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit? Why didn't you make an investment in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on the investment. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver, to those who use well what they are given. Even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even that little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into our outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm telling you, this is hard language. And what we do with God's investment, it matters. What we do with his blessings, it matters. So, quickly here, I want you to know Thrive Church has an investment strategy. Can I just quickly share this investment strategy with you? We have these two principles called the tithe, and we have this principle called impact. Let me quickly explain to them. First of all, the tithe. Each and every Sunday, we take an offering, and we invite you. If you're members of this church, you know all about it because you tithe. A tithe is 10%. You give a 10% giving. It's not even a give. You present it. You give it back to God. We'll talk about tithing next week. But what does tithing go to? When you invest in your tithe, I want you to know it goes towards our staff. It goes towards the ministries of this church who why you're here today. Some of you are here today because of the ministries of this church. And it goes towards this building. The resources of this church is what your tithe goes towards. Well, by the way, I want you to know, as you go out that door, you look to your left, there's this wall. We call them the Wall of Heroes. These are missionaries from all over the world that we support. We want you to know that we believe so much in the principle of tithing that we take your tithe and we tithe to support the missionaries around the world. Did you know that? This is part of our investment strategy. We want to make sure that whatever they're doing around the world, they can just keep on doing what they're doing. It's called investment. The second investment strategy that we have here is called impact. Everybody say impact. That's why we take every third Sunday of the month and we focus on a missionary. We focus on what God is doing all around the world. We focus what we call, there's three areas that we focus on. We focus globally on global projects, local missions. By the way, thinking about globally, what Garrett did by making we wear this t-shirt, you know what he did? You know what they did? Do we have this picture here? Do we have the picture? Here we go. It's called Speed the Light. Speed the Light, all the investments from Speed the Light, when teenagers give to Speed the Light, what it does is it goes towards missionaries so they can drive in vehicles to get around, so that they don't have to go on donkey and carriage to do their ministry. It goes towards vehicles. And this was the vehicle that I got to ride in last year, given by teenagers from the United States, the investment, so that that missionary can have a greater impact. Can we give it up for our teenagers who give? Impact goes towards local missions, the Hagar House, Teen Challenge Recovery Center in Green Bay, Bridge Street Mission. Because of your impact giving last year, we gave $10,000 to get their new building started because of your impact. Local outreach because of Extravaganza. We do that event, Extravaganza, at Easter time, is because of your impact giving. And then we give towards future missions. And each and every year, when you give towards students for scholarships for them to go to camp, we're thinking about the future. We invest in Spencer Lake Camp, where we know that teenagers' lives are changed and are called into the ministry. We invest in the building renovations. How many of you have noticed the renovations that have happened in here in the past year? Yeah, give yourselves a hand because of your investment, because of your investment. All right, all I'm asking you today to do is to think about this whole challenge. It's about, what am I doing with what God has given to me? And how much is my investment kingdom investment? And I'm just asking you, as we begin to end this new year, that you would think about, I want to invest in a child's life. I want to feed a child for a year. I want to feed five children for a year so that they can work their way out of poverty. I want to make a difference in somebody's life. One day challenge. Or maybe you just start praying about, what am I doing with impact? Because impact is above and beyond a tithe. We'll talk about this next week. What am I doing about impact? And as I close, I just want to remind you of these kingdom principles. Number one, you are a steward. You're not an owner. You have been blessed to invest. You are accountable, and your response matters. Jesus' name. I would just pray right now for your church that you would speak to us about this. That, Lord, we would be vessels used of the kingdom of God to invest in your kingdom work, and that lives would be changed. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You have been given an impact booklet. I just encourage you, if you've not read this before, would you take this at home? And this is what we're trying to do here at Thrive Church. Our goal for 2024 is $60,000. And next year, we're going to give you another goal. But will you just pray about your investment in God's kingdom? Amen.